part of this body, and we have this body. There's the one another's, and then there's the head of the church that we need to be cognizant of. And as we have that thinking, we can respond vertically to the Lord by faith, and as well as horizontally towards each other within the body. And this is very, very important. So usually here in the fall, we seek to pull everyone together at the beginning of each school year to give people the big picture of what we're seeking to do here, and that they might understand how they can fit in, what role they can play in light of all of that. So first thing we want to do as we begin this morning is we want you to consider seeing the need to minister here within the body of Christ. As the pastor of Grace Gospel Bible Church for the last 18 years, our church has grown and become bigger than when I first came. There's no doubt about that. And this is good. And we have had our ups and downs over the years, but God has been working, the church has been growing, and we have added ministries and opportunities to serve in those ministries as there have been people to fill those ministries and to serve here over the years. And that perhaps describes you as well. Sometimes people don't always know what's going on here. They may be new and they're trying to figure out where can they fit in. And so I'm going to just review our ministries here for a minute. You don't have to write these down as they come up on the board here. But again, just to let you know, and we're going to have a meetings afterwards, hopefully in this order that you see them up here, so that if you went wondering when is your meeting, well, there you go, you'll know all of these things, okay? Well, first of all, we have a nursery. This is where parents can put their younger kids during our services so they can come to hear the Word of God here without distraction. It's so nice to sit in the auditorium to hear the Word of God without kids crying, without kids talking loud, without, you know, things going on, so that it distracts from the message and it distracts people. It's oftentimes in weddings and funerals that happens, and that can't be helped because usually we don't have nurseries for that. But at the same time, it's nice to sit here and just hear the Word of God. Okay? So there's always an opportunity for you to serve in the nursery if you're able to. It's for men, it's for women, even teens who are mature enough to function under authority. That's always important to say, and be responsible as they care for these little ones during our services. And if you are interested in ministering there, you can see Casey Schmidt, as she and Greg Jensen head up this ministry. And we trust, again, for your guidance and direction, there are going to be some things said in that meeting that are important and pertinent that you will need to know. Secondly, we have two Sunday school classes, one for the younger kids and one for the older kids up to sixth grade. We have a number of people involved here, as well as no one person can do it all. That's always good to know. Charity Guggenberger has been our Sunday school superintendent for a number of years, overseeing the classes, overseeing what's taught, who teaches them. And if you're interested, come to the ministry meeting and let her know of your interests. In the last few years, because our Sunday school kids have aged a little, and we do have some teenagers, we have a young people's ministry or group. For some of the older Sunday school kids and teenagers, they meet together, usually, I don't know if it's every other month or every month, I can't say right offhand, as their needs differ from those in the younger Sunday school class, and sometimes they don't feel like they can really fit in with the adults, but, you know, age doesn't make a difference when you get saved. You can fit in, you can talk to anyone by the grace of God, and that's why we have Christ in common. We need to keep that. Well, they have produced and put out this little newspaper called the Young People's Gazette, which is amazing, I think. It is emailed to the young people from time to time. I get a copy. And they're looking for writers that could write articles and be part of that. If you don't have a copy of that Gazette, you can talk to Aaron or Eric or Kristen Skog. They kind of run that, and they could send you a copy. And if you have something that you would like to write, they would like you to be part of that, and that you could certainly add something. And they're also looking for devotional ideas, and in light of what they can speak to these young people about, that would be pertinent to them. So I want to mention that as well. Number four, we have an ushers ministry or ushers group that come early to set up the auditorium, to greet people when they come, and to direct them to whatever their needs might happen to be. They, as well as other volunteers, take down the gym so that it is ready for the Calvin School on Monday or on Thursday, depending upon the service or the need. The ushers are the ones who count the offering on Sunday. They do so with a system of checks and balances to ensure the money is handled discreetly and deposited in the bank promptly. They would appreciate any help you could give by lending a hand, either picking up after church or perhaps even if you're single and have the opportunity to come beforehand and to help put out a few chairs or to set up some of the media stuff here. That would be wonderful. You know, you don't have to be part of a ministry and have a title to your name like usher to minister here. You just have to have the Spirit of God and see the need for all of that. Okay? Fifthly, there's the music ministry. Music ministry uses those who are interested in ministering via music. Whether you play an instrument or you're talented in carrying a tune, they want you to learn to make a joyful noise and singing, if that's your thing. Some organize all of this. Some lead our choir or find people to sing specials, especially when we introduce a new song for the month. And maybe you'd like to be involved in that. We'd love to have you involved, and you don't have to be bashful. You could, like Louise or Aaron or Debbie, know that you're interested in perhaps being part of a group because you don't want to sing singly. That would be wonderful. You know, we're looking for people who can do that. But again, it's nice when you can carry a tune, especially if you're singing a special, introducing a new song. That's very, very important. Okay? So that's very, very important. And if you'd like to get involved in the music ministry in any other way, you can always join the Christmas choir. As they sing at Christmas time, they usually put on an Easter special as well, and you can be involved in light of that. Number six, there's the media ministry. Media ministry made up of those who set up and monitor the sound system and record the messages posted on the website. Then, of course, they take it all down and put it away. And if you see a need here, you could help by coming early to help set it up, and or after church, help put it away if the Lord would so move you. Part of the media ministry is overseeing in the development of the website, which Joe Guggenberger started, and now Derek Spotty is highly involved in that. And this is important, as many people out there are pursuing churches via the internet. So the internet is very important and very crucial. We've had people come out who have seen it on the website, and they've come to hear the Word of God. They don't call it the information highway for nothing, because there's a ton of information on the internet out there. Number seven, we have the kitchen ministry. Okay, this kitchen ministry oversees the potlucks. They get it organized. They keep us in supplies, and then they help clean it up. But they do so along with others as well, who set up and take down the tables and chairs and put it all away. And here's a place that anyone can be part of. If you're waiting to be asked, you may not be a part of it. But if you see a need to move a chair, to help set up the tables in the back, to go in the kitchen and say, what can I do to help? You can feel free to do that. Bunny kind of runs that, and Mike's with her. And by the grace of God, we're encouraging you to think about that for yourself. So many people can step up and help in many of these ministries who are not necessarily on any particular ministry team, but they just are looking for a way to help. And then there's Vacation Bible School that's going on every summer. There's summer camps that people volunteer at that are involved there as well. I didn't even put those up here on the PowerPoint. And then there's the governing board made up of Joe Guggenberger, Nathan Croman, who is the treasurer, by the way, and myself, as we kind of set policy, pray for the church, guide and direct with it all. So in light of considering the need to minister, my point is that no one person can do it all. I mean, certainly I can't do it all. There is a real need within the body of believers here for you to be involved. If you see this need, if you want to be involved, if you want to minister, okay, and have this mindset, that's very, very important. Now, years ago, Pastor Radke used to say this, and I've mentioned his name a number of times. I'm going to put up a quote, and this is not necessarily a verbatim quote, but he said this many times to the people in church. There's two kinds of people in a church: those who step up and are involved in ministering within the body, and then those who stand back or stand by and let others do it all. And you are either in one group or the other, my friends. And that's what he said number of times. I heard him say that. So again, you are going to fall into one of those groups. What group do you fall into here? This is very important. You know, after I came down here, things began to be overwhelming in my thinking. And I've mentioned this before. I said to Pastor Radke, I just sense, Dennis, I'm over my head down there. And he had to tell me, quote, David, you were over your head when you left DBC. You just didn't know it. And I said, thanks. I needed to hear that. So again, no one can do it all. We need each other. We're part of a body concept here. And God wants to use you and God wants to use me. And that's why we want to seek to pull this together here this morning by the grace of God. So in light of this revelation to myself and to you, we need to consider and then observing our commander-in-chief in light of all this. Let's look to the Lord and see what He has to say here. And that's why Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight, and that's not necessarily a sin, that's just something that encumbers you and keeps you from running the race, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, spiritual strength, the race that is set before us. How are we going to do that? By looking unto Jesus. I should have had verse 2 up here, okay? The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, notice He endured the cross, despising the shame that was there, and He has now sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. And that's why as we are a local church in this dispensation of grace, we want to be part of His program here. We want to be used in light of that. And that's why, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church. This isn't Dave Knutson's church. This is the Lord's church. And that's why we're just part of this body and God has brought us together here in this physical location. We want to be part of what He wants in life. And, you know, that's very, very important to note that the commander-in-chief is Christ. He's the head of all of that. So Grace Gospel Bible Church then is part of His body. And again, this speaks of the universal church made up of many local churches. And these were many in the early church that we've studied and we've looked at in the past again. But today again, there's this heavenly body of believers, the church triumphant, who are in heaven. And then there are local church assemblies that are here on earth, just like our local church here. And we need to have that in our thinking and our understanding in light of all of these things. Okay? So in light of that, we need to look for a minute here at the structure of the local church. This is where we're at. We're a local body of believers. And it always begins again with the Lord, the commander-in-chief. He is the head. He is the chief shepherd, as 1 Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5. Under Him, by way of administration, not because of rank or anything else, because we're all part of the body in Christ, okay, there are elders, shepherds, leaders within the church, such as myself and such as Pastor Roxer or Pastor Radke was in his church. And then there are the deacons who assist in that leadership role. And then there's the spiritually gifted congregation. So we're all part of this body, but there's some administrative differences that we need to see and we need to note in light of all of these things. So we need to ask ourselves again, who's really in charge here? Are the elders in charge? Well, perhaps of the local church, but Jesus Christ, the head, is really in charge. He's the commander-in-chief. He's the one we need to be looking to. He's the one we need to understand. And as we see Him there as the head of the church, and we see this chain of command, and we see where all of us fit in, we can begin to understand that God has a plan. God has a purpose for all of us. So I and the people of this church need to be considering the Lord in all of this. So secondly, then, let's consider His attitude in coming. And this is very, very important. If you begin to see the Lord's attitude and His mindset, it should have an effect upon you. Well, what was His attitude? And I picked this verse, Matthew 20, 28. Here it is. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served. Notice, He didn't come to be Lord. He didn't come to be served. He didn't come to have people bow down to Him. He didn't come to people ask Him, say, what can I do for you, sir? But instead, He came to serve. Notice His mentality here, to serve. And how did He do so? He gave His life a ransom for many. Well, for how many? For all people of all time. I mean, if you can let His mindset or His attitude capture you, and you can understand this, it'll be absolutely life-changing to you. So what does it mean to serve? It's the Greek word, diakonon. We get the word deacon from it because they are part of the church and they serve in the local church. But it means to be a servant, an attendant. to serve here, to wait upon others, and to wait at a table and offer food and drink to guests, to be a table waiter. You mean the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, became a table waiter for you and for me? That's exactly his attitude. That's exactly his mindset. And this is in the active voice that he chose to do this. No one forced him to do this. He voluntarily put himself under. He came what? He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, for you and for me, for all of us. And that's why if you catch his attitude and catch his mindset, it will certainly make a difference in your thinking here. And I say that in light of another verse here besides Matthew 20. Here it is, Luke 22:27. Here the Lord speaking, he said, "Who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves the table?" Well, is it not he who sits at the table? Isn't he greater? "Yet I am among you as one who serves." Same word. Okay? I am here as a table waiter for you and for your benefit. And I added those words. Anytime I put some words in parentheses, those are my words to kind of help explain the thrust and meaning of all of that. So if the Lord of glory thought this way, shouldn't we think this way? I mean, that's to me, makes perfect sense of what the Lord would have us to do in light of these things, to think the way he would have us to think. And this should be true at every level of that local church. If the Lord Jesus Christ, as the head of the church, is one among you who serves, that should be true of the elders as well. And that's why I'm not afraid to pick up chairs. I'm not afraid to pick up this table afterwards. I'm not afraid to be last in line at the potluck, because I should have the same attitude as the head of the church has. And the deacons should have that same attitude as well. That's why we've designated them as deacons. They serve here. And you need to note that and give them the respect for that. But if that's the mindset of the head of the church, shouldn't that be the mindset of the spiritually gifted congregation as well? This is the whole thrust of what I'm saying today. And that's why if you can catch this attitude of the Lord and how he thought, and it can capture you in your thinking, it's not hard to present your body a living sacrifice to him, because it's an acceptable, perfect will of God in light of all these things. This is very, very important. Now, here's another verse, as I think, again, of him giving himself here in Titus 2:14. It says, "Who gave himself for us on behalf of us." Why? "That he might redeem us from every lawless deed, save us, and then purify himself, his own special people, who should be zealous for a life of good works and service." That's my thinking, is what the Bible is teaching here. Okay? "He served us in coming via the cross, so we could serve others by means of the Holy Spirit, which motivates and produces a life of good works in this Christian life that we have." And this should be true of the spiritually gifted congregation, as well as the deacons, as well as the pastor, because it's true of the Lord here. Very, very important. This God has designated or designed our salvation so that good works should flow out of this very thing. And that's why the proper place of good works is not to get saved. You're never saved by good works, no. You're saved by faith alone in Christ alone. As you believe the message of the cross, that he died and rose for you, you enter into salvation. You now get the very means of power in the Christian life, which can empower you now to respond to the Word of God in faith and to have good works or service or ministry flow out of that. So we're not trying to fit a square peg in a round hole and say, you've got to do this. Oh, no. We're just trying to show you how the Lord thought, how I as a leader have to think, how the deacon should think, and then how you can fit into this and how good works can flow out of you, not because I'm cranking on you and forcing you to do something you shouldn't have, but now you have the very Spirit of Christ who died and sacrificed for him, and you can produce these good works which are divine in nature, which will count for you in light of eternity. Oh, that's amazing. It's exactly true. And that's why we're not trying to get anybody to do anything unwillingly here. This is very, very important. And it's the Spirit of God and the love of God that motivates this. And that's, so if you haven't caught that, you've missed it. Did not God so love the world that He gave His only begotten Son to die and to pay for your sin debt penalty, so that through faith alone and Christ alone, you could enter into salvation and now you could produce a life of good works? That's exactly true. So again, love always does that, and that's why in 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, Paul says, "For the love of Christ compels us, motivates us, sends us ahead. Because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all have died. And he died for all, that those who now live in Christ, who are believers, should live no longer for themselves, selfishly, carnally, doing their own thing, going in their own direction. But they should live for Him who died for them and rose again." This is logical. This is biblical. This is grace towards you, friends. I hope you see that and understand that. And if God could just get that mindset, that way of thinking in you, it would be very motivating and transforming in life. And that's exactly what God wants to do. He doesn't want to force this, because He's using His own Son and His own love for you as the example to motivate you. And you go, wow, this is amazing. This is grace. It is. So secondly, we need to understand, let's consider the mindset of Christ in serving. And to see that, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Okay, so you can back up a few pages and let's look here and read some verses. In Philippians chapter 2. You know, if God can get a hold of your thinking and my thinking, this will just be amazing. And that's why, you know, God has gotten a hold of my thinking in so many ways. My life has changed because of the grace of God. Because I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. The Spirit of God came in, and I began to be taught the Word of God. So it then compelled me, okay, but not to live so much selfishly. Now I fall into that rut from time to time, just like you do. But really it's because of Him who died for them and rose again, we can live for Him. And that's what God wants, and that's what grace makes all the difference here. So in Philippians chapter 2, let's read some verses here. And let's read up to verse 6 at least. Paul says, "Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, and there is, and if there's any comfort of love, and there is, and if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, and there is, and if any affection and mercy, and there is," those ifs are all first-class conditions, "fulfill my joy by being like-minded." Now look at that. "Having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done in your Christian life through selfish ambition and conceit." That's carnality. "But in lowliness of mind, in humility of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Wow. "Let each of you look not only on his own interests," and that you need to do that, because who else is going to look out for you, "but also for the interests of others." And that's why we are to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, again, what is God after? He's asking that we would consider His mindset in His serving. That's exactly what we want to do here. I want you to consider the Lord's mindset. We saw His attitude. He came to serve. He came to give His life a ransom for many, for you and for me. But now His mindset, how is He thinking? What did He do? And we see here in verses 6 through 11, put that Bible up there, some principles and some thoughts here that we need to understand and we need to know. Let's read at least 6 and down through 11. "Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." Now notice He's condescending here. "But made Himself of no reputation," another step down, "taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, God became a man. He humbled Himself," that's the main thrust here, "and became obedient to the point of death, even this terrible death of the cross." Now God the Father took note of that, and He says, now here's His exaltation. "Therefore God also has highly exalted Him," lifted Him up, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now this passage is what's called the kenosis passage. And I've got this PowerPoint that I'm going to show you here that sets forth what takes place in these verses from 6 through 11 here in Philippians chapter 2. Notice first of all his condescension here. Jesus Christ, he was God. What did he do? Well, he stepped down. He made himself of no reputation. He came in the form of a servant. He came to serve. We've already established that. Okay? He was made in the likeness of man. He came in human form. Okay? He came to die for you and for me. And that's why he came to die on the death of the cross. So he really humbled himself. He emptied himself of all but love and his deity, because he is the unique God-man. And when he came, notice his condescension in his stepping down here. Now, God the Father noted all this, and because of that, he's lifted him up here. So God has highly exalted him. He's given him a name above every name. He says that every knee is going to bow before him. Every tongue is going to confess. What they're going to confess? That Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the key word here, that he is the Lord. And that's why believers normally have no trouble doing that. And he's going to do this for the glory of God the Father here in the future. So this is an amazing passage about the humbling of the God of the universe. But God the Father says, but because he did that, I'm going to exalt him. And one day, every knee is going to bow to him. Every tongue is going to confess, whether they're in heaven, whether they're on earth, or whether they're in hell. And everyone who's been stubborn and hasn't trusted him and believed in Jesus Christ's death on the cross and what it accomplished will have to then admit that one day. Because they're going to have to admit that Jesus is Lord. He is God incarnate. Okay, so this is amazing. So on that cross, he provided salvation for sinful man, for you and me, the whole world. And he did so to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And if he has this servant mentality, we need to have this servant mentality. So in light of all that and the need, let's consider the biblical solution to the need here. Okay? And it's the need to do what? It's the need to minister. And here, again, I'm just going to mention a few things. The solution is what? It's salvation by grace, okay? That we can live the Christian life now by grace. We can have victory in our Christian life by grace. Are you getting the point here of grace, okay? And we see we have the ability to serve others by grace, okay? And as we become part of his body, we become part of his church by the grace of God. And we are part of the body of Christ. So, in light of all that, let's consider now the importance of a body concept from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So take a left here in your Bible, and from Philippians where we are, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, I mentioned no one can do it all. And that's why God has set forth this body concept in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we need to be cognizant of. And we can just jump in here and look at verses 12 and through 14 here. Let's read those verses. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are yet one body, so is Christ. So is his body. And that's why we have this body picture. He's the head. We are part of the body. We are part of the body just like those in Duluth and other places are part of the body. For by one Spirit we were all baptized, placed into one body, the spiritual body, an organism, an invisible organism, but yet visibly through local churches. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many members. Boy, that's good to know. Okay? Thus, we are all part of the body of Christ. We all are gifted and can complement each other in this process. So this church is, again, is an expression through the local body here and for all that it needs to be. So again, we have this body concept. Again, we use this physical image of Christ. He's the head, and we are members of this body no matter where we are in time during this dispensation of grace, or logically or physically in location from around the world. All people who are believers have been baptized and placed into this body to function under the headship of Christ, to have His attitude, to have His mindset, and to minister and to serve. That's what I'm seeing here. Thus, you are part of the body of Christ, which means that you have the privilege to be involved in some specific aspect of our local church. And I just, again, thank all of you who are. Let's read a few more verses. Let's read verse 15 through 18 now. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, am I not the body? Well, it couldn't say that. Is it therefore not of the body? No, it's of the body. And if the ear should say, behold, I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Now, he's using a physical body to indicate the fact that every part of our body is important. And every part of the body of Christ is important. Okay? If the whole body were an eye, well, then where would the hearing part be? And if the whole were a hearing, where would the smelling part be? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, notice this, as it pleased Him. Oh, this is amazing. So again, each person is part of this body. They are to be submissive to the head, just like you want. I want my right hand to click this because my head tells it to click it at the right time. So as part of the body, when God wants you to function in a certain way, He's placed you as part of the foot, part of the hand, part of this or whatever, to function where He wants you to function. And He knows, because He's God and sovereign, He can keep all of that in control, where, you know, I can hardly do anything of those things apart from my body, my physical body automatically doing what I want it to do. Now, my wife can't do that with her right hand, if you've noticed. Because of her stroke and a blockage in her brain, her right arm does not function. She can think, I want to lift that arm, but it doesn't go. Okay? And we understand how that works. So when someone in the body doesn't show up in our local assembly, we are handicapped to the point of that person not functioning in the body like they could function in the body. Because when my body gets up in the morning, I'm looking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm here. I want to serve You this morning. And I'm hoping all my body parts are functioning like they should function. Okay? So if nursery workers don't show up, or Sunday school teachers aren't prepared, or ushers don't come, other members of the congregation in whatever part, if the pastor of the board doesn't come and function the way they're supposed to function, the body is going to be handicapped to that degree. So the question is, here we are. We have the head of the church, Jesus Christ, who is running everything, as He has everything under control. He's the Lord. He's God. But we're just a section, a local church of His body, made up of elders, made up of deacons, made up of the congregation, you folks. And we're all part of that congregation. So positionally, we're equal, but functionally, there are some differences and distinctions that the Bible makes, so we make those distinctions. And I'm making those on Wednesday night as I talked about marriage and the role of a woman and the role of a man. And I just want people to see whatever that part God has for them. As you hear the Word of God and respond to the Word of God, you can feel the role that God has for you, and you don't have to feel like, you know, God is trying to squeeze me in. I'm a round peg and He's trying to squeeze me into a square hole. No, that's not how it works here. Okay? So the question is, what kind of people are we looking for in this local body? Well, as I mentioned in the past, we're looking for fat people. You mean physically fat people? No. So what do we mean when we say that? Okay? We mean, first of all, faithful people. People we can depend on. Can we depend on you? We like to use people who faithfully attend and consider themselves part of this body. And we don't have official membership here at Grace Gospel Bible Church, because the Bible nowhere talks about official membership to to a local body. Okay? If you come, we consider you're part of the body here. And we'd like you to be faithfully come on Wednesdays and Sundays if possible. But not all can, as many live out of town and many work late and it's just not going to work for them for whatever reason. Okay? So we want faithful people. Secondly, we want people who are available to serve. Okay? Available to be used, but hopefully that they regularly attend. So if you come only on Sundays and then only once a month or twice a month on Sundays and never come on Wednesdays, you know, and you have an assignment or a ministry, say you're going to be in the nursery, and then you don't hear the Word of God, but then you go to the nursery, when do you hear the Word of God? When are you nourished spiritually? So we try not to get people who are hit and miss to serve in major roles here, and we want you to think about that and understand where we as spiritual leaders are. We need and understand you need to be fed, you need to be nourished, you need to be taking in the Word of God regularly, and if that's true, we'd love to have you serve somewheres here because there are opportunities to serve here in the body of Christ. So are you faithful in your attendance? Is God's Word a priority in your thinking? Are you being nourished spiritually so that you are equipped and available to be used in ministry in some aspect of ministry here in the body of Christ? Thirdly, we want teachable people, fat people that are faithful, available, and teachable. Are you willing to be under and to be taught? This is important. And this needs to be evident in you in order to be more involved or even to be over others in some ministry here. And sometimes being over in some capacity can cause you to get a big head. Well, I'm over, you know. Then instead of serving like the Lord did, I mean, he was over it all. He's Lord. But he came how? To serve. He humbled himself. That's why he is such a fine, ultimate example of all of this. Okay? And hopefully that can be true of you. And you put somebody sometimes that's maybe young and then they're not ready for a leadership role and they get over people and right away they get a big head, you know, their head swells up and they have to scratch their head with a rake. And that's just not good. So we need to be cognizant of that. We're looking for people who are faithful, who are available, and who are teachable, who are really under. That's what we want here by the grace of God. That's how I started in Duluth years ago. As just part of the body, seeking to serve the Lord faithfully wherever I could. There were times when Pastor Roxer had to pull me over and address an issue to keep me on track. And I needed to learn to take that correction. And I needed to realize he's the pastor, he's the elder here, and if he has some insight for me, I need to hear what he has to say. So I had to humble myself many times. And that doesn't always happen because some people get miffed and then they leave when you challenge them or when you cross them. And that's not a good thing, okay? But even at work, friends, doesn't that happen where you work? Doesn't somebody come up and criticize you and challenge you to say, why did you do this way? This is not how we do this at this company. And that's why you need to know your role there so that you're willing to fit in. And because there's a leadership, there's a chain of command, even at work. That's true. We do it for a buck, even though we might chafe and say, oh, I hate that guy. I hate that woman. He's over me. You know. But at the same time, that's just the way it always is. That's the way it is in the military. Okay? So I'll say this. If you have a suggestion how we can do something better, I'd like to hear that suggestion first before you go ahead on your own and make a change. Because I may have to shoot that idea down and say, we already tried that and it just didn't work. And, you know, we're always trying new ideas. And we're always trying new things. And I'll give you a couple examples here in a minute. And a couple that we're going to seek to implement as we have put together an emergency preparedness plan. This came up at the annual meeting. Do we have an emergency preparedness plan in case there's an emergency at our church and what we can do? So our deacons have put together a plan and you might not like part of it. Hey, here's a chance for you to just submit and to go with it because you may not like it.
Why are we doing that?
Well, just because we wanted to respond to the fact that some people thought we needed an emergency preparedness plan. Does where you work have an emergency preparedness plan? I guarantee you, this school does. So when there's a fire alarm or something, they have a program and a protocol on how they do things to get the kids out of the school. Okay? And if bad weather comes, you know, whatever they need to do. We needed to do that as well here. So let me give you an example that's happened in the past. At one of our meetings, the music ministry said, you know, Master, you always pick the same songs. And they suggested that the music people pick 4 of the 6 songs each week, and I pick 2 that would perhaps be in tune with what I was speaking on. And I said, that sounds okay with me, as long as I can trump any song you pick for one I think is more appropriate. And they said that was okay. But then I said, you know, come Sunday morning, if you don't like the songs that I picked and you say I have a difficulty playing this song, you can even trump me. You know, I don't mind that you trump me. Then together we'll pick another song that'll work for all of us here. So that's what we did. So we have a music committee that sets forth, and I get songs from them every month. Louise sends me a list of songs with 4 songs. And I look at those and I X that one out and I put another one in there. And then I pick 2 others. And that's a suggestion. And I went with it. It's not a huge thing. But again, it was a suggestion. I was willing to flex with it, but it was run by me. And I said, that'll work for me as long as this will work for you. And they said, fine. And so that's what we do here. Then they suggested, well, how about if we put a suggestion box on the back table that people might want to pick a song that they haven't heard for a long time, and you never picked that song. I said, go for it. So when I get the list of songs, I put a suggested song. And I want to put that song in because I want to sing it because you have suggested it. And I'm willing to flex a little. I don't have to have everything in concrete. So I'm willing to just mold and be molded and we can work together here. But again, if you have a plan, and I saw this happen in Duluth a number of times where people thought they could implement something and it was oftentimes a good idea. But they didn't run it by Pastor Roxer. And because of that, Pastor Roxer had to challenge them. Some people got miffed and left the church over it. And I'm thinking, you know, that was a good idea. And he said, yes, but I just want them to talk to me about it first. And that's why even at work, you don't decide to do what you want to do. If it's not policy there, you might have a suggestion box or go to your supervisor and say, could I suggest this? And you have to have the right attitude when you do that. Instead of demanding it, you just want to be under and you just want to suggest it. And they might say, that's a good idea. I'm going to pass that up. I said, do that. And sometimes I've walked into, one time I walked into Walgreens, and the rock music was so loud, we're trying to pick out a couple of cards for a funeral. I couldn't even think. So a gal comes up to me and says, can I help you? I said, yeah, you can help me. I said, you can tell whoever the manager is, I'm never coming back in the store because this music is not conducive to help even trying to pick out a card here. This music is too loud. And it's heavy metal. It drives me crazy. She said, I'll pass that up. I said, thanks. And I left. So, you know, we can work on different things here. And that's kind of very, very important that you understand that. So, again, if you want to do something here at Grace Gospel Bible, please run it by me first before you do it. And we can discuss it. Maybe if it's something I think the board needs to talk about this. I'm not going to make a decision. Let's get a feel for other men in leadership and let's talk about it, and we'll set a policy, okay? Now, getting back again, Wednesday nights. Now, our Wednesday night services are not well attended oftentimes, and maybe you should think about what your priorities are for you and your family on Wednesday nights. Distance may be a factor, as some come quite a distance. I understand that, okay? And maybe it's work, because you work late, and you don't get home till 6:30, and you're not going to, and you had to, you know, commute to go home and you're beat. And I understand that as well. Duluth is having the same problem and the fact that their Wednesday night services are down. I understand that as well. But if you'd like, if you can come and would still like to hear teaching, you can always turn to the internet and as a family sit down and listen to last Wednesday night's message. That's really not the issue, is it? You know, it's just, this is my night. Let's watch TV. let's do this or let's do that. Okay? Or you can tune into DBC and get their webcast and watch it live. So if you're not coming on Wednesday and you'd like to do something spiritual and have some input for your family, let me suggest that. Okay? But again, this is the kind of people we're looking for, faithful, available, and teachable people. Secondly, we got to move here. Consider the importance of service rendered. Service rendered. And service is just really ministry. So here's Warren Wiersbe's definition, and the white letters are my addition. Ministry or service takes place when? When divine resources, spirit-filled, equipped, and motivated believers meet human needs, those within the body, through loving channels. God's Spirit must motivate us here by His Spirit to do this to the glory of God. That's Warren Wiersbe's ministry. And that's a good definition. So if you're not Spirit-filled, you're not going to have the mind of Christ in this anyways. I understand that. So the Bible tells us, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it for Him. Giving thanks, notice that, to God and the Father through Him. Thanks, Lord, for the opportunity to serve You in this particular ministry or in this particular ministry or whatever ministry interests you. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily to the Lord and not to men. Don't do it for pastor. Come on. The Lord is above me. We're serving Him. He served us. This is the thinking we need to have. Lest we need to do what we do for the glory of God. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Thus, your service or ministry should be a blessing to the body, an asset, not a liability here. Okay? And that's why we should seek to honor and glorify the Lord in what we do. Now, this doesn't mean that mistakes won't be made or need to be addressed. As they come to my attention, we will seek to address those issues, hopefully, principally, and graciously. Let's remember, Grace Gospel Bible Church is a grace ministry. We were saved by grace, and we serve by grace. But that doesn't mean that grace has no standards, okay, in ministry either. In other words, grace allows for challenges, perhaps to me. What do you think if we pick four songs and you just pick two? I was challenged. Oh, you can do that. I don't have to pick them all. Why not? Okay? But again, grace allows for challenges concerning sloppy attitudes in ministry. Correction that may be needed in some aspect of service. Perhaps we can do better by doing it another way. Talk to me first, though, before you do it. Okay? We are always seeking to bring the service of our church to a higher level and to be more consistent, okay? And that's why we need grace. So, and we're not going to do it because every other church is doing it. And just because they have a praise team and because they have a rock band up front, that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to do it that way. Very important to understand and to note. So this is where this attitude of grace must prevail and must motivate us. We can either nitpick one another over how something is done or handled, and this will just cause friction and division among us, or we can look to the Lord and respond by faith, yielding to God in His will, in His direction, on how it's going to be. And thus, service rendered for the glory of God, through the power of God, we can have that, or we can have it any other way that may not be. Okay? We need to trust that adjustments, when needed, will be made by God's grace and through God's leaders here at Grace Gospel Bible Church as directed by God's Spirit while we seek to move forward for the glory of God. Let's keep in mind here a saying that some missionary had made years ago, and I put this up here. It says, walk softly, speak tenderly, and pray fervently. Now, that's a good saying. I'm going to adjust it to this. Here's the next saying. Walk principally. What does the Scripture say? What are the biblical principles we need to operate? And when you talk to me, speak graciously. That would be for you to me and me to you by the grace of God. But let's keep praying fervently because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay? And I like this a little bit better. Letter C, consider the importance of spirituality in service. This is crucial, friends. This is crucial. Why? Because John 15:5 says, "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing." So we can either be fruitful for the Lord in our ministry here, or we can do nothing for the Lord, depending on if we're spiritually minded or not. And I keep going over this because people need to be challenged about spirituality. This is very, very important. If you don't do it heartily as unto the Lord, if you don't do it in dependence upon the Lord, you're not going to be spiritually minded in all of that. And one day, you know, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account, and God's going to show us what our motive was and why we did what we did or why we didn't do what He wanted us to do. And God is going to reveal all of that to us. Very important and very significant. Instead, we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Thus, you need to be spiritually minded in our ministry, or it won't count in light of eternity. Now, this brings me to my final point. Consider being part of God's program today, as it has eternal benefits for you. Okay? That program today is the church, and all of us, again, are part of that body concept that we need to understand and know. So as we think of that, we could pull anybody out of here, you know, pull this guy in the middle out, and let's look at his mindset. And that's why I always go back to that makeup of man. You know, I've seen it many, many times. Well, we're not going to go back to that today. We're going to look at this a little differently. Again, when a person gets saved and becomes part of the body of Christ, they enter into salvation immediately. Now, you've seen this in the past, and they get saved. But immediately, they have to face tests of doctrine, because the Word of God is challenging you to think. You don't have to write all this down. Just look up here and take it in. Make it easy on yourself, okay? Tests of doctrine. And my volition now is going to help me to respond right or to respond wrong to this. So if my volition is positive to what the Word of God says and to the tests of doctrine that I face, again, you know, I'm going to be producing some divine good in my life. It's going to be evident here by the grace of God. There's going to be some steadfast endurance in my Christian life and my walk by the grace of God. And there's going to be some aspect of spiritual maturity that's going to happen just because I'm responding in faith, I'm yielding to the Lord, I'm depending upon Him in life, and that just leads again to more tests of doctrine in life. But if I'm saved, I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior, yet instead of a positive volition, now I have, or that's walking in this, I have a negative volition. And this happens moment by moment for all of us. What are the consequences of that negative volition? Well, I sin. I can only produce human good, and I'm temporarily dead to God's will while I'm alive, even though I've entered salvation and I've been saved by the grace of God. And this is true for you as well. Okay? So this shows weakness and instability in my Christian life because I'm operating by this human viewpoint thinking in my life. So I'm spiritually retrogressing. I'm becoming hard-hearted. I'm turning myself off and I'm saying, "God, I don't want what you want. I want it my way." You know? And then again, you go back with more tests of doctrine. So you're either responding in a positive way and growing in grace and spiritually maturing, or at any given moment you're responding negatively and there's weakness and there's spiritual retrogression. But at the end of life, and that's because the sin nature is in control, at the end of life we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ if we're saved. Okay? And as the Lord will be able to differentiate all of this, we might not be able to. Okay? What's been done by the power of the Spirit of God will get an eternal reward, and it'll be an eternal benefit for you. But what's been done in the flesh, we will lose reward and we will stand before Him and temporarily be shamed. Again, this is all of this goes on in our thinking automatically in throughout the day as we walk with the Lord and we depend upon Him. Very, very amazing. So in light of this, Scripture says, and again, Philippians 2, 12 through 16, let's just look at these verses. They're up here on PowerPoint. You don't have to turn there. "Therefore, my beloved," he's talking to believers, "as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, you as a believer need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." What salvation? Second tense, Christian life, salvation. That's the idea here. Second key. For it is God, notice now, who is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So in light of that, you can do all things without complaining and disputing. You can put on the Lord, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That's the people we live among whom you're going to shine as lights in this world. God wants you to shine as a light because you're holding fast to the word of life so that you can rejoice in that day of Christ that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. So again, this is what God wants for you. This is what God wants for me. This is what I want for you. But I can't make you choose positively or negatively. You have to choose. And again, if we go back to the Lord and His attitude and His mindset, He came to serve. He came to humble Himself. He came to die on the cross for our sins. And if we have that attitude, we'll have the ability to serve. And these verses can be fulfilled in your life, in my life, again, by the grace of God, through the Spirit of God. I don't have to crank on people. I just have to teach the Word and let you respond in your heart to Him. So let me close here with some thoughts. Let me thank those of you who serve here, okay? And we're going to just look at some verses. I've got them on PowerPoint because our time is gone again. I've run out of time. So what are we saying here? Let me thank those of you that serve here. All of you who step up and serve and minister here in some capacity at Grace Gospel Bible Church. Thank you, those of you that do. And if you're new and haven't found your niche, you can always serve by praying for us. As we've been talking about that on Sunday morning. Remember, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You can pray for the leadership of this church. You can pray for the ministries that I have mentioned. You can pray for the believers here. You can be involved. And I told people from time to time, pick up a phone directory off the back table. If you can't do anything else or not involved in any other way, most of our names are in there, and you can pray for the people of this body on a regular and consistent basis. And if that's not enough, wait around for 10 minutes after the service is over and pick up a chair. Pick up a hymnal or two and bring to the back table. You can get involved just right there. Okay? Very, very important. Or join the Christmas choir. If you want to sing, I'm keep giving that Christmas choir a boost here, getting people involved. I believe as you look to the Lord, He will lead you to do what you can do by way of ministry. God wants you to ministry here. So notice these verses here. Paul writes to the Roman church and he says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, they were believers. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, notice he goes vertical. He thanks God through Jesus Christ for them all. And I thank God for you all, friends. Okay? I just did. I thank you for your service here. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul hadn't been there yet. For God is my witness, whom, notice, Paul says, I serve. How? In my human spirit, but in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Pastor Dave, you need to be praying for the people of your church. Making request, if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you that are at Rome. This is an amazing thing right here. Very, very important. So first of all, let me thank those of you that serve here. Secondly, let me encourage those that serve here. And this follows right behind here on these verses 11 and 12 in Romans. He says, Paul says, for I long to see you. Notice, Paul wanted to be there rubbing elbows with the saints at Rome. And why? That I may impart to you some spiritual gift, some act of teaching, service, or ministry. Why, Paul? So that, or in order that, you may be established, furthered, matured in their development as a local church. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you, notice this body concept, by the mutual faith both of you and of me. Wow, that's absolutely amazing. But thirdly, let me challenge all of you who attend here, and to see that, we're in 1 Corinthians. Turn over a page to 1 Corinthians 15. 58. This is a great passage of Scripture to challenge people with. Paul here at the end of this resurrection chapter says, therefore, my beloved brethren, who's he talking to? Believers. He's telling them to be steadfast. Hang in there. Be immovable. Don't get out of the what God wants you to do. You need to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor as done for Christ is not in vain in the Lord. Now that's amazing, friends, that we would think about that. So if you pick up a chair, you know, if you pick up a hymnal, God says, I'm taking note of that. If you do it, it's unto me. If you do it because you want to impress your neighbor, well, that's just self again. If you give because you want to see what the neighbor, you want the neighbor to see how much you gave, that's just self again because you want the glory. And that's why I have to challenge people. You have to do this as unto the Lord or it's not going to count. See? That's why you don't want your labor, your service to be in vain or for nothing in the Lord. You know, you go down the street, if you go down the street of believers, over the front door, it might say, if you had x-ray vision like the Lord has, this household is in vain. That would be bad. I don't want that for my house. And that's why the Lord always wants to use stat people, faithful, available, and teachable people right here. And that's why he says here in Matthew 10:42, I had to go to this verse. And whoever gives one of these little ones, notice, only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple is unto the Lord. Assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward because he's doing it with a motive and a mindset that follows what Jesus Christ wants in our life. So if you pick up a hymnal, pick up a chair, or give someone a cup of cold water, or even help with the potluck today, okay? Or get involved in some other ministry here. Remember, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, in light of this, I'm reminded of a verse from Revelation here, which is very important. Revelation 14:13. Look at this verse. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit. Why? For two things. That they may rest from their labors. Death means you don't have to work or serve the Lord anymore on earth. And two, notice their works follow them. So only the works that we do is unto the Lord for the glory of God. What ministry we do is unto Him will follow you into eternity. Wow. I mean, that's impressive to me. And that means I need to keep in mind, you know, the only thing that you will ever take into eternity are those you have impacted with the Word of God. Parents, are you impacting your kids with the Word of God? Are you teaching them, showing them their sinners and how they can be saved by the grace of God? And your divinely wrought, spirit wrought good works. Only those two things will count for eternity. So when I had to decide if I'm going to come down here and impact people with the Word of God or paint houses, there's nothing wrong with painting houses for a living. I did it for 25 years. But I thought, you know, in light of eternity, I think talking to people and impacting them with the Word of God is far more valuable. So I came. I have no regrets. No regrets. And that's why only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Keep that in your thinking. No wonder Paul could write this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love His appearing. All those who are expectant to have the Lord come to them. And as well, Hebrews 6:10-11. For the Lord is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, your ministry, your service, which you have shown towards His name, and that you have ministered. There's ministry. To the saints, and you continually do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Keep on to the full assurance of hope until the end. Well, God is stimulating this and encouraging good works in your life, but it has to be done in the power of the Spirit of God. It has to be done unto the Lord. God wants to use you right here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. Are you stepping up or are you stepping back? Are you involved or are you checked out? Are you so busy after church that you don't do anything, you ever pick up a chair and help with anything? because you just want to talk to who you want to talk to. And I'm not saying you can't. That's why I said, wait 10 minutes. Let's visit a while. Let's encourage one another. And then we can pick up the chairs. Let's not rush to do. Now, today we'll probably have to rush because we're having a potluck. Okay? If you're here and you're not saved, though, the first thing you need to do is to trust Christ and be saved. Jesus died for you. You need to get off the broad road, get on the narrow road, and trust Him. And then you can be in the battle. And God can use you in regards to that. So let's pray and we'll sing a song and we'll be done. Father, thanks for your grace and thank you for the mindset of Christ, that He came not to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for all. And may we understand this, Father, and just be willing to yield to you and allow you to have your way in our life. Thank you that you treat us in total grace. I, as the pastor, want to have the mindset of Christ. The deacons here, I believe, want to have the mindset of Christ. Many people here, Father, want to have the mindset of Christ. And many people are serving and stepping up. Thank you again, Father. And as we, again, don't have to have a position to serve and to be used. But it certainly is nice that we can have faithful, available, and teachable people that we can count on regularly and consistently to be in our nursery, to be in our Sunday school, to be an usher, to be in the kitchen, to pick up a chair, to pick up a hymnal, to put up chairs and set up the media and the sound equipment and take it down weekly, day in and day out. I pray that you might impress some of us to step up to that and to not just stand back and let somebody else do it all, because either we're involved in stepping up or we're uninvolved in stepping back, just like Pastor Radke said. And may we do this for the glory of God, in Jesus' name.